Just a warning, this episode will contain spoilers. Come back to this episode once you've read Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus. Also, be sure to check trigger warnings before listening as well.
Hey besties, welcome back to Boozy Book Talk. I'm Andy.
And I'm Jen. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Where's Ren? Question mark, question mark. Good question, listener. All one of you.
She's here today. And she's here today. Our only listener.
And she's here today.
And she's here today.
True. And she's actually a returning guest. You know her and love her from our episode From One Book Lover to Another. It's Liz, aka Lizbeth, Jen's sister.
Hello. Yay,
welcome back. Yay. Back. Slay. How does it feel to be back after all these years?
It's like I never left.
Feels like it has been years.
I know. It's just so funny. How have we all been? Liz has moved out. How's that been?
Fine. Cool. Different. New. Genesis and I aren't doing this as, like, I hear her from the other wall. That's cool. That's different.
I know. Slay. We love that. Jen, how have you been?
Yeah, I mean, since the last time we recorded, I haven't really done much. I mean, I've worked. I've read the book. I just finished it right now, like before we started this episode.
We absolutely love to see it.
I am a procrastinator. But yeah, I mean, apart from that, I haven't really done anything eventful this past week since we last recorded. What about you, Andy?
Yeah, it'd be like that. Also same. My cat's sick. That's the most exciting thing in my life.
Not exciting.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's, I have nothing exciting in my life. It was more panic inducing. I've cried several times.
I'm sorry.
But it's okay. She just has an ear infection. I'm just a very anxious mother.
What's your cat's name?
Pepper. She's right here.
Oh, I feel like I need that.
Pepper.
Pepper.
Say hey, girl. Anyway, but yeah, that's all that I've had. I've worked and then did that.
I mean,
big week for us.
So true. Big week for all of us. Is there anything that we're currently reading, or are we not reading anything besides this book that we were talking about today?
I read this book a while ago.
I read this book. Yeah.
So, I said in our last episode that I was going to be reading, like I was going to start The Dead Romantics. And I have not yet. So I'll start that one.
So you're not currently reading anything?
No, because I just finished something. Because I did read other things. I just didn't read Dead Romantics like I said I was going to. I lied.
Oh, okay. I just mentioned, I did just finish Lessons in Chemistry, like, maybe an hour ago. Actually, less than an hour.
Not even.
Ago. Yeah, not even an hour, like, ago. But I'm
almost, actually.
Yeah, yeah. But I was also reading Binding 13 at the same time, and I'm still currently reading that.
What's
it's
that?
Part of the Boys of Tommen series. Basically, good question, because I'm still 20% in. So it's basically like they're in high school, like he plays rugby, and she like just moved to the school. And it's a whole series. Like, there's gonna be other books about, like, the different players and the team.
So it's a sports, like a sports romance.
It's a sports romance, yes. Basically, yeah. It's really popular, and I'm buddy reading it with my buddy Mel.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. So, yeah. What about you, Elizabeth? Are you currently reading anything?
Yeah. I have a book club with my friends in Armenia's on Monday.
Oh, fun.
And I have to finish reading None of This Is True by Lisa Jewell.
Oh.
Why does that sound familiar? mean, what's the book cover?
It's a thriller, so, you know, it looks like the way they look.
Yeah, I was going to say, I recognize the title, and especially the author too. Like,
what's the author again?
Lisa Jewell. Jewell with two L's.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm like 30-ish% in almost. But I started
thrilling yet?
Huh?
Is it thrilling yet?
Not really. But yes, in the sense that if it's called None of This Is True, I'm like, well, what the fuck am I reading?
Like, right, what's going to be true?
Right. The premise is like there's two people who who happen to realize they're birthday twins because they're eating at the same restaurant celebrating their birthday equally. One of them is like really intrigued by the fact that the other girl has the same birthday as her, and they meet in the bathroom.
That's just funny.
No, like she's like particularly a little too invested in the fact that, like, it's really just a fun fact and you just leave it at that.
Right.
But like to her, it's like, who is this girl?
It's like, oh, me too.
Yeah. No, like she like struck up a conversation with her, purposely like designed so that they could talk about it. And what could have been just that one meeting, like she kind of ended up just being a little too intrigued with her birthday twin. And they're not just birthday twins, but they're like same age too.
What if it's not true, though? What if they're?
I was gonna say, I have a guess that her birthday is not the same day.
And she met her on purpose because there's something else, yeah. There's an ulterior motive.
Because remember, none of this is true.
Exactly.
That could be true, but one of them is a podcaster, and that's the girl who is the birthday twin of the person who's like a little too intrigued with her, and she like.
So she's the subject of the.
They end up doing a podcast about birthday twins.
Bye.
Sorry for that. At that one girl's insistence, because she for some reason really just wants to know what her life is like.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see
what that is. That sounds interesting, though.
It does, but is any of it true?
Yeah. Right. That's the real question here.
Stay tuned. Maybe we'll find out next time. Oh, we won't because you won't be here, but. Yeah.
Rip. No, Jen, you have to find out.
Yeah, I'll find
so
out.
So true. Out. Shout it out now. Shout out your Goodreads.
No, it dogs myself.
It's not you
dogs. Not dogs yourself.
No.
Nar.
No.
Anyway, so what are you guys drinking right now?
I'm drinking Barefoot Bubbly's pink Moscato thingy.
Slay. Is it good?
It's good. I didn't know if I would like it, but I like it. It's yummy.
We love.
It looks good.
Yep.
What are y'all drinking? Moscato.
It does look good.
It is good.
And she's pink. We love.
Yeah.
We love pink.
What are you drinking, Jen?
I'm drinking a Moscow Mule today. And so it tastes so good. It's made of tequila, ginger beer, fresh lime. Please sponsor us.
So true. We are not above begging.
What are you drinking, Andy?
Good question. I love that question. Thanks for asking. I'm having a Sunny D vodka seltzer.
That sounds really good.
Wow. Like, bro,
Is it actually like Sunny D's? Like,
yeah, no, it's actually like... Yeah, it's actually Sunny D.
Like spiked Sunny D.
Yeah. I saw that at Walmart, or I saw them at Walmart this week, and I was like, let me buy that for the podcast. And so this is my first one having it, and it's pretty good. It doesn't super taste like Sunny D, but it's good. Like, I do really like it.
It
tastes
good.
Like just a slightly fruity, a more fruity seltzer than like a White Claw, for sure.
Yeah. That sounds good. They should sponsor us too.
Yeah, sponsor us, Sunny D.
So true.
Actually, wait. That sip tasted a bit more Sunny D-ish. It builds. It builds. Charge. All right, you're abusing your power.
Yeah. You're the one who can do that?
Yep.
Yes.
With great power comes great responsibility. Damn.
You're abusing it.
Yeah, and you're not being responsible with it.
I'm having a good time.
Uncle Ben would be disappointed.
Uncle Ben is dead. Spoiler alert.
I haven't gone that far.
You're so... Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to... Please, Addy, let's talk about the book we're discussing today.
Sorry, that was a good joke. I'm so happy Liz picked this book because I, from the start, when we decided to come back as our podcast, I was like, listen, we're doing lessons in chemistry. And then you were like, yeah, Liz wants to come on and do lessons in chemistry. And I was like, oh my God, how amazing. Welcome, Liz, for lessons in chemistry. So Liz, can you please tell us about lessons in chemistry?
Yeah. Okay. The premise is Elizabeth Dot, a slightly off-kilter chemist, did one thing she never really thought would happen. She fell in love. However, when tragedy strikes and she is faced with another thing she never thought would happen, raising a child, she has to navigate an entirely new world. Living as a woman in the STEM in the 1950s, she struggles to get the recognition she deserves in the field. One day, she winds up the host of a daytime cooking show, which gains huge success due to her different nature. As a show's host, she challenges society and leaves a great impression on all who cross her path.
Yay!
Elizabeth thought that's mother.
I love her. Can I just say, randomly insert that, like, I know his name is 630, but sometimes I used to read it as 36.
Like, now, you might want to see a doctor about that. Like, that might be... Yeah.
I was like, wait, no, it's 630, not 36. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I love the dog.
I love that. That was what was so important for you to like immediately get off the bat. Oh, like, I have to open with this, guys. Hold on.
I do, because I don't know. I had to tell everyone. I was holding this in for an hour. I did. I texted that to you today.
Yeah. Before when she was going to start reading this days ago, she was like, you want me to text you like as I read? And I'm like, yeah. And she never did. But the one thing that she told me was an hour ago that she read 630 as 36 every time. So.
And I did tell you that an hour ago. Like maybe a little more than an hour ago.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah. But.
Wow. I didn't hear that. I wasn't told that before.
For the pod.
Yeah, so true. But anyways, I just wanted to let everybody know that I was reading that as 36 at times, and I was like, oh wait, no, it's 6:30. And I just thought that was so clever. I love it because like I'm not
that you read it as 36.
No, I love that the name of the dog was 6:30, because every time they would say it, people would be like, no, it's like 5:20. Like, or no.
I know, I loved that bit.
It was just so cute. I loved it. But anyways, Elizabeth, like why did you choose this book and like what are your thoughts on it?
To clarify, I did not ask to be on the pod and do lessons in chemistry. It was an invite. But I suggested you read lessons in chemistry. Oh. And then you were like, Andy wants to do it on the pod. And I'm like, oh my God, yeah, you should. It's like, wait, do you want to? And then we did the thing. That's when it was born. But I didn't impose myself.
Posed you being a guest, and then it manifested naturally.
Yeah, but I'm glad you did, and I love Lessons in Chemistry. I read the book last year after having wanted to read it for a long time at that point, and then I watched the series too, so I love Lessons in Chemistry. I haven't read it in a long time though, so Genesis, who just finished it like an hour ago, probably knows it better than I do at this point, just like the little intricacies of the book.
Details, but,
Lessons in Chemistry is really good, and I think it's different in that like people who love romance books will get something out of it, but really it's so much more than that. Like there's a romance book. Huh?
No, but romance? No, she said it. People who love romance will get something out of it, but it's more than that. Oh. She's saying it's not a romance book, but if you like romance, you'll like this book anyway.
Yeah. I just have to say, if you liked, because I saw that you loved this book, you would love Tomorrow, Tomorrow, Tomorrow.
I know I will. I know.
You will. You really will. It's a
and you'll love it more because you're an AP Lit kid.
I know. Okay, fine. You know what? I have that audiobook. I'll start that tomorrow.
Okay. And then update me.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Sorry, keep going, Elizabeth.
I think that's it. It's a really good book. And I loved it. And I feel like everyone should watch it. Hear it. Read it. That.
All the above. All the above.
Absorb it. Live exactly. It.
Know
feel it.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Be it. No, I fell in love with Elizabeth Zott. Like, I...
Yes.
I don't know how I would deal with the 60s because, first of all, I'm a brown person. So right. I think my world would just be completely different overall. But I just think, like, she didn't even realize that she was, like, a pioneer for things. Like, yes. Like she was, like, very oblivious to some of the stuff, but not really. Like, I think people underestimated what she knew.
In terms of,
for example, like, when there are certain, like, people of power who wanted to take advantage of her, like, she knew the game they were playing, but she would just be, like, she would not take it.
She wouldn't play back.
Exactly. Like, she knew the game she was playing. Right. And I love that. Like, she, like, in a way outsmarted them without even knowing, without the other person knowing that she was doing that.
Right.
If that makes sense.
She was on another field.
Yeah. But I absolutely loved her. I loved her. And I love the dog. And I love Mad. I just,
I love Calvin.
I love Calvin too. They were such like a cute little nerdy couple. I know, like, they just understood each other. Like, they had no, like, social, like, I don't know. Like, I can't explain what I'm saying, but they were, like, meant for each other.
They were two chemists.
Yeah, they were very much, they're chemists to the core.
Yes. Yeah. No, I completely agree. Like, I, actually, crazily enough, two books in a row for me that have been audiobooks, because last episode was also something I did as an audiobook. I've been really into audiobooks starting last year, and this was an audiobook that I did, and it, like, destroyed me, built me back, like, put me back together. Like, it did everything I needed it to do. Like, I literally, in spoiler alert, when Calvin dies, I was driving home from work and I was sobbing like a baby. Sobbing like a baby. Like, I nearly had to pull over because I was like, I can't do this. Like, I was so broken.
I was sad that he died, but I think I was more sad that their story was so short-lived.
Yes, like, that's what, like, hurt
they
so
didn't,
much.
They didn't even and the get way he to died, have a life
like,
together.
Well, you have to, yeah. It was, no, I, that's. I
it was so tragic. Like, bruh.
He never lived to meet his daughter. Like, oh my god.
No. But isn't that, I feel like I'm blending it already with the show and the book. But in the book, I know she says, like, she didn't know him long enough. Right?
Yeah.
She says that in the book, yes. But yeah. She didn't mean it like she, they twisted
her
words.
No, I know. Yeah. They made it seem like she didn't know him that well. And that's not true. She didn't know him long enough.
And that's what she said. Because he died too soon,
It's so true, though, like, however much time she had with him, it wasn't long enough.
It wasn't enough. Was like,
obviously so and that, sad. It's so funny.
Yeah. So see, like, that's what I love. Like, I can build the little story because I know in the beginning, like, they were two like oddballs, and everyone was kind of like jealous of them because they were both super smart, and like people were scared of him because like he was the grudge
because
guy.
Of his
like,
his.
You see, for grudges,
and people
like,
were obsessed with her because they thought she was gorgeous.
She was really pretty, and like but he was kind of protecting her without her knowing that, because they were gonna shut down her study, and he really believed in it. He fought for her even though she didn't want him to, and I get why, because then like things would get too mixed up, and during that time, like, man, but I just love that he really understood her. Like, he really, like, believed in her from beginning to end. And, like, he fought for her. And I fucking hate men. Like, literally, Dr. Donati and Miss Frask were jealous of them. And, like, what they had.
Fuck Miss Frask. See, that's okay. The thing that's so hard about, especially those times. No, I know, but then she gets fine. That's what's hard about those times is, like, women in order to survive, have to like prey on each other as well.
Yeah.
And so it's like, God,
it's just, it's sad because, okay, like after that, after the fact that like he died and like they basically exiled her, they fired her and took credit for her work.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah. I hated that. I hated that moment.
She couldn't but even, then, they would never be able to do that.
Yeah. And it's the way they fired her because Miss Frask told on her.
Yep.
And it was the way that it was really sad to me when I found out that they were both like they took different roads, but it was they started from the same
place. Same path. Yes.
Like they both wanted to be women of science and STEM, but then their roads were blocked because of men in power who took mm-hmm. advantage of their situations and basically didn't, they just blocked their paths. But it's just sad to see like how differently they became because obviously like, I was going to say Brie Larson, but, Elizabeth, like she still fought through it and through like the stereotypes. And I think that's why Miss Frask was like jealous of her because she didn't do that same thing.
She had given up.
Like she gave up and she followed the norm like she was supposed to because she mm-hmm. that's what she mentions a lot. Like I took the right path. Like I did everything right, and I'm still not like up here where I should be. Like years later, because mm-hmm. it comes back that she was in the same position or whatever. But like it's just sad seeing that like these women like they do want to be something else, but like during that time. Like just the norms and like the way everything was ruled, like it didn't happen for them because they weren't given these opportunities.
Yeah. And like, so after Calvin's death, when I would keep like every day because I read primarily or listened primarily while I was driving to and from work. And I literally started like every single time I would read or again, listen. I would cry. Like this book, like when I say it broke me, I mean, it literally did. Like, I think my brain was rewired afterwards because after that I would cry at the drop of a hat. Like, I read this maybe like September, October or something. And from then on to the end of the year, for some reason, just like anything would happen and I would cry immediately. And then I traced it back to this book because like something happened. Where I started crying every time. And every time with this book, every time I would listen, I was crying. Because it was just like, it's just so, like, it was either like, I'm so happy, like, they're doing well. Or it was like, so sad because, like, they're not doing well. Like, men are awful. And it was just like, every time, it was a struggle driving home. But then finally, it was just like, oh, it's so peaceful because, like, it ends, you know, in such a beautiful way. And that, we can get to that after. But, like, I remember when I was listening to the Miss Frask part, I was just like so angry because it's just like it's so horrible to think of that, like women preying on each other in the way that what happened. But like, I mean,
angry as those moments were happening, but like once I found out, I was like, damn, I feel bad.
Well, then exactly then afterwards, once it's resolved and like Miss Frask comes back and then like they have this like big talk with each other and everything, it was like, well, now I feel like I'm the woman who is preying on her.
Yeah, like, it's just the way things were, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I also, like, I can't get over, like, the way he died.
That was what was so horrible to me, too.
Damn.
And he dies differently in the show, doesn't he?
Does he?
Not that differently, but yeah, a little.
Like, how?
Wait, how did he
die? He's not, like, run over, right?
In the book, he... It's on his jog, right?
Yeah, and he gets run over.
Right. In the show, he's with 6:30. I think they're like
he's with 6:30 in the book too.
In the book too.
I'm setting the scene. He's with 6:30. I don't think he had been walking 6:30 with the leash.
Right. So that's what I.
It wasn't like a new thing, but. Mm-hmm. I there's a point where like I think he comes back to like grab something and like it's like a tug of war situation and he like falls back. Yeah. And when he falls back, he gets hit.
Oh.
Yeah. In the middle of the road. Like in the book, like a police car like goes over him like four times, it felt like. It was like, bro, Jesus, can this guy literally like not a police car, like going over a body a bunch. Like, Jesus
Christ. That's what I'm saying. It's just so tragic. Like, bro, this guy is like a renowned scientist, and this is how he dies.
I know.
Yeah. And then 6:30 having to be there, like, God.
6:30. I found it, like, I think that's really, well, obviously, when he dies, things shift. But, like, when you start to meet 6:30 as a narrator, is when things, like, because you feel, I feel like at a certain point, I became 6:30, and, like,
yes.
I just worried about this family so much, and I wanted to support them, and I wanted to help them, and I felt like I was raising Mad myself. I was making sure Elizabeth was
breastfeeding. I love that he called her creature. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
He called her creature.
Yeah, I love that.
I love 6:30 is just, like, everything that he's, like, you know what he's talking about, but it's just, like, not the right, I just loved all of that. It was so funny.
And, I mean, I just finished the book, so it's just fresh in my mind. So, I just remember this part where, she was pregnant, and he would tell her stories about her dad.
Yeah.
Like, in his dad. And then when she was born, like, she was crying all the time. And then 6:30 is like, creature, we talked about this. Like, why are you crying? Like, please stop. Like, I'm like, why are you crying? And I just thought that was so cute. Like,
it was
just
so endearing.
Yeah, I love the charm and the little charm and endearing moments that, like, 6:30 brought. Like, I just loved it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought it was cute. Like, we talked about this. I told you about your dad.
No, but I agree. I like that, the way you said that, Liz, that you felt like you became 6:30. Like, because that's really true. Like, I didn't think about it in that way, but, like, you do kind of take on, like, that caretaker, but, like, distant at the same time, like, kind of role.
Yeah, like, you can't really do anything, but you're watching over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Head. I will say also, what a dog. Sniffed out a bomb. Like,
bruh.
Ew.
That's crazy.
Literally, yeah. Like, he's crazy.
He's a dog of science, though, so.
Yeah, I mean, true. Like, they're
dogs
all
in STEM.
True, dogs in STEM. Make that a sticker.
So true.
But, like, they're all just brilliant in their own way. You know, like, obviously Elizabeth is, like, insane with her brain. And then Calvin, the same way. Mad is a baby genius. And then even 6:30 is a little genius dog. He learns
family
English.
Of STEM. Family of STEM. We love.
True.
Pioneers. How did you guys feel about that, like, the twist, like, in, like, Calvin? I think it was so tragic that he died, but I had a feeling that, like, his family was alive and that fucking
father
was, like, lying. Like, because the way he was saying it, too. But, like, the fact that he died hating his dad, not knowing he was, like, well, his dad said, but, like, not knowing that he had family out there.
He died that these people
that didn't want him. Yes.
His mom had been fighting for him his whole life. That's, like, my one consolation is that, like, he doesn't know it, but, like, his parent was still funding everything he was doing.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Like she did as
they
much
were caretaking as much as that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just think it's so sad that he literally died thinking that, like, they literally looked for him and saw him and didn't want him.
I know.
Like, that's the worst, like,
fuck
feeling ever. Like, bruh. And how's he a man of the church?
Yeah. No, it was really interesting the way religion was depicted in this book. Just overall. And I'm not a religious person at all. So I honestly was kind of laughing with it in the way I feel like it is meant to. Like, you know, it is kind of like they're painting a lot of caricatures of religious figures. And I was honestly like, I feel like I was going about it the way the author was kind of intending it to be, you know. But then, so I didn't even think, like, I didn't, like, really second guess it. But then I was talking about this book with my cousin, who is very religious. And she mentioned she read this book. And I was like, oh my God, did you love it? Like, I loved it. It was probably my favorite book of last year. Like, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, yeah, I liked it. I didn't really like how they did, like, anything about, like, the religious stuff. Like, I didn't like how they portrayed the religious figures. And I didn't like how she acted about religion. And I was like, oh, okay. So you're boring.
You're reading about a scientist.
Well, the thing
yeah,
is,
that's, like, exactly what I said. I said, I was like, it's a book about a woman. Yeah. Who's a scientist, like,
but also, like, I do consider myself Catholic. Am I, like, practicing Catholic? I don't know. I'm, like, an Easter Catholic, but barely, even then.
You're a two times a year
like Christian. Exactly, a celebration type Catholic. But, and I mean, and I do have some of their beliefs, but I'm like the reverend on that end. Like, I don't believe everything, but he's a reverend. Right. he shows up. Like, no one told him to be a reverend. But anyways, but like, I didn't read it as like, oh my God, how dare they depict like my church this way? Because I know the realities of it too. Like, it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm not blind.
It's very real to me.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like, I'm not blind to like the like tragedies of the church that I'm from. Like, not from, but that I belong to, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't find it offensive. I just found it like, damn, like, chill, like, leave this poor little kid alone.
And also, it was the 60s, so.
It was the 60s, exactly. So, like, it's what you can expect, like, from the church, I guess. And also, mm-hmm. you know who I hated? The fucking teacher. The teacher. Yeah, I hated that teacher. I hated
there
that teacher.
There are so many people. We could go on we could spend the whole episode just listing people I hated in the book. Because
everyone in Calvin's life until Elizabeth gets in there.
Yeah, like, they're all villains in the book, basically, except for the main people. But like all the other...
And Harriet. Random,
yeah. Well, that's... there. She's actually the main people. All
right.
But, like, the teacher, fuck her. Frask, fuck her until the end. Donati, fuck him till his grave. The one, the professor, fuck him till he's dead too. Like, all of them. All the
professors.
The CEO of the studio.
Phil? Yeah, Phil.
Oh, guy. Yeah, him?
Fuck that guy. When they said, when Walter was like, oh yeah, why did you go by yourself? Like, I never let any women like go alone with
him. That hurt. That was, oh my God. See, like, I was crying. Like, I was literally like, oh my God.
I know. And I knew it as soon as like the girl warned her like not to go in. But I was like, no. But I knew like she would like pull it off somehow. I just didn't know how.
Yeah.
But anyway, I have a question. Like, this is a side note, sidebar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in the show, how old is Walter and Harriet?
Yeah, so you're asking how they are in the show?
Yeah.
I think it's the same. I think they're both older than Elizabeth.
But is it still Asian Naomi King? Like, as yeah. Well, she's not old, is what I'm saying.
But Elizabeth is young.
She has younger kids.
Elizabeth but like, has, yeah. She has,
but doesn't Asian Naomi King have, she like, Harriet has younger kids in the show. She doesn't have older kids like she does in the book.
Right, yeah, Harriet has kids like in still living in the family, like in the household. And she,
oh. Yeah,
like,
so she is definitely younger than she's in the book.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So one thing about the show, the immediate, I think the biggest standout difference is Harriet. You know, in the book, one thing that's not the biggest thing to report, but like interestingly, in the book, Harriet is who gives Elizabeth the children. Go help your mother. She needs a moment to herself. That's what happens in the book.
Yes.
In the show, Elizabeth comes up with that on her own after seeing Harriet, but not Harriet doesn't have that advice to give her.
Oh no, but I wish she would have.
But it's different. Their situations are different because in the book, Harriet is like their older Christian family. I think the husband is like low-key abusive, right?
Yes. Yes, in the book.
In the book. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in the book, that's the situation with them. And it's like, she's grown now, and this is just, like, she has a lot of life and wisdom behind her to, like, guide Elizabeth in there. Yeah. And in the show...
She's almost like a mother figure to Elizabeth, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she's kind of, like, wants her to have the life she didn't, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's her family. Those are her girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the show, they're more like sisters, kind of.
Okay. In a like sense of like together,
how close they get. No, because the biggest difference is that one, Asian Naomi King, Harriet is Black in the show.
In the 60s.
Yes. She has a husband who is not abusive. He is just, he's a doctor. He's doctor away at war and he comes in and out. So it gets hard because she does really raise her children alone sometimes, but when he comes back, but it's difficult because she also did put her career on hold. She wanted to be a lawyer and she couldn't practice it as long as he was out. When he comes back from his like assignment or whatever, her storyline becomes about okay, we talked about this before. It's based in LA. They live at in the 60s, here in the 60s. Calvin lives as their neighbor, right? And he's like the only white guy on the street.
Oh, in the show.
Yes, in the show. Like the neighborhood is very black. And the big storyline is that Harriet is trying to fight against the fact that they want to build a freeway on their backyard, basically. It's like the biggest storyline, and that's like
they're fighting gentrification, basically.
Right. That's real. So that's Harriet's situation. It's her storyline throughout the whole show.
Yeah. Can I also narrative. Say that like just like reading the book, I think I would have pictured Brie Larson anyway. I think she's the perfect cast. Like she's the perfect Elizabeth.
Brie Larson was like what pretty much knew. I mean, I pictured Calvin as the guy who played her or the guy who played him too, but Brie Larson was like, other than Calvin, the only one I never questioned.
Yeah, well, not that I questioned the cast, but like I could literally see her playing. Like, I haven't seen the show at all, but I could totally see her nailing this. Like, yes. This is such a Brie Larson role. Like, I love her.
So perfect. Yes. She was amazing. Like, go watch this after we're done.
I love Brie Larson so much.
Like, I feel like it was written for her, almost. Yeah. I genuinely was like, whoever got her involved.
Also, especially because considering, like, I don't know if you guys follow, like, the Marvel drama. Like people didn't like her.
Yes.
Like, because she wasn't like sexy.
She got a lot of misogyny thrown her way.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And I just feel like this role is literally for her because of that. Like, not because of that, yes. But like I could just see her like honing in some of that. Like, yeah, exactly. She really
did. The way she is becomes Elizabeth, and like her mannerisms, her attitude, her personality.
Yeah.
Like the fact that she's like stoic but also a nurturing mother.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
She nails that.
That's 100%. I was gonna say, I also
could
just
see
like
it, yeah.
Yes. And like just off of a point you said there, I love how she is as a mother.
She's a great mother.
Like, I think love she's her. I love
such
her.
A good mother. Like, even though she like didn't want to, like
yeah,
she questioned it the entire time, she like stepped into the role so well and so naturally, and like respects her daughter but also shows her love and also treats her as an equal but also still as a daughter. Like, I just, it was yeah. So I was just like,
I
this
love
is
that.
Motherhood literally.
She was literally the best mother ever. And it's also sad how like how she talks about like in her head sometimes that like she could picture like how Calvin also might not have wanted this, but how he would have been such a great father to them, and like how they would have experimented together, and how
okay,
like maybe when she was a baby, like he would have tested how high he could throw her, and like how
no,
like,
stop.
And I just it made me so emotional, because even when Calvin was gone, he was always there.
Yes.
Like she made sure that he was always in her life. Like in any yeah. way, like it, when she had questions, when Matt had questions about her dad, like she never hesitated to like tell her like how he was, who he was, where he came from, and like how much he would have loved her and like things like that. Like, and I love that, because I think in a lot of stories, like similar like that, when like a parent passed away, like it's hard for the other parent to
mm-hmm.
come forward and talk about that parent to their child. But mm-hmm. I love how Elizabeth just embraced it, and like she was like you mentioned before, like she treated her daughter as an equal. Like, so she genuinely told her how it was, but like obviously she knows like she's her child, so she said it like more nurturing. But I just loved it. Like, I just loved that Calvin was always there.
Also, yeah. We talk about rowing. Actually, we haven't talked about
I was
that
gonna yet. Say that I was I gonna love... say that the rowing, I love it. Yeah, how she didn't
like,
even want to do it at first.
Like, yeah, like,
I think she can do it. Like,
yeah, he was just like, come on, please.
Yeah, and then in his head, he's like, actually, Rowan's gonna be really hard, but like, I just want to do this with her. I think it'd be fun. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's like, Rowan is like one of the hardest things, like, but I think me and her can do it. Like,
yeah.
In his head, but outside, he's telling her, yeah, it's gonna be so easy.
Yeah. And then
wait,
I love
seeing that through her pregnancy.
Yeah.
No, literally, psychopath. I love that she mentioned it as a workout on the show, Yeah. And then she shows up to the rowing house, and all of a sudden it's packed full of women. And the guy is like, please, we need help. Like, what is going on? I just love that, like, her audience is such a captive audience. Like, they really, like,
they were really into it,
are because enthralled.
And I love that because I think she's low-key, like, I don't even care about the comparison I'm making. She's their Katniss. Like, she's their Katniss Everdeen. Because, like, she's instilling this hope for them. Like, she's... Listen, you can't say shit, Elizabeth, when you mention Twilight. You literally mentioned Twilight, so you can't say shit. But...
It was in a different way.
Completely different way.
I don't care. She's
their Katniss. There was a war going on.
This is a she's war with... Katniss. This is literally...
She's like,
tell me she's not.
Your mother needs a moment.
She's not. Literally, that's her. I don't care what anyone says because, no, think about it. She literally instilled hope in all of them. She literally made a whole. She is. I don't fucking care what you guys say. You laugh all you want.
No, it's just a funny comparison, but I get the point you're making.
She made these women who at home were treated like they're dumb by their husbands. Like, she made them think. She made not think. She made them, like, open.
Feel important. About,
yeah, exactly. She made them feel heard and, like, not be behind. And, like, she just instilled that hope that they could be something more than just housewife. Like, they could dream. They could be these things.
Like, doesn't she inspire that one woman to, like, go to medical school?
Yeah.
She wanted to be a heart surgeon. Mm-hmm. She ended up being... a heart surgeon, but I think she was in her residency at the time.
Ended up going back to school.
But like I love that, and I think that's why, like, the show was successful, because all these women, like, they were like, wait, this girl, like, I want to be her. Like, how do I do that?
Yeah,
because at home they're just like listening to their husbands being housewife and being told they can't do all these things, and then you have Elizabeth Zott, like, out here being the Mockingjay. I don't fucking care. She is the Mockingjay.
She made them, to men, like, these women, they just cook. That's what they do. But, like, the way Elizabeth said it, it wasn't, like, a wrong thing to say. Like, it's not, like, some fresh angle. Like, it is science. She made them scientists. Like, that part in the book where they get all these calls asking about the ingredients for the next show, and it's like,
and it's just salt and vinegar.
And they have to, like, oh, it's just salt and vinegar, and then it's just so cool.
It's vinegar. They just answer the calls at a certain point, just saying that,
because she was giving the formulas,
Like, she was like, and we need now sodium chloride, and I love, and I also, I lost the point of the trend. What I was going to say is, I love how, like, obviously she's brilliant, but she's, like, literally inventive in the sense of, like, she built her own lab out of random ass things she had in her home.
She's her,
like,
kitchen.
That's her insane.
Kitchen is not a kitchen, it's a lab. Yeah. She's a chemist through and through. She invented chemistry.
Oh, and also, just back to the fuck the guy who came in to her house, who got her to do all his work for her.
Yup.
Mm-hmm.
No. Literally, fuck that guy, because he seemed like a little fucking loser nerd who needed her help.
Yeah, a little pussy ass bitch is who he was.
Yeah, literally. And then once she left, he literally still went to her and just took all the credit for everything she was doing.
Yup.
Wait, okay, obviously she needed to make money, but it sucked that that's what she did.
She knew that was happening, but she was trying to get
like, she needed some kind of income.
Needed money, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So she knew what was happening, but she needed to, like, get fed, she needed to feed her daughter, you know, like, it sucked.
One thing
I was like, men!
For real, I hate men. Let's eat chemistry, I hate men. Except for Calvin.
That could be our episode title.
And Walter.
Fuck all men except Calvin and Walter.
And the doctor.
Okay.
Oh, Dr. Mason, I like the doctor.
Dr. Mason was funny as hell. Like,
he was.
This girl's out here, like, struggling. Like, she has a baby, but before she was pregnant. And he was like, okay, but are you going to make it to the rowing thing next week?
Yeah.
Like, you're coming. Yeah. Like, you're still coming, bro. Her like with the crying baby. Okay, I know you're busy, but you're still coming, right? Like,
no, he was so funny. And like, wasn't his wife one of the ones who started rowing too? He's like, my wife now wants to row.
Yeah, at the end when, because you mentioned it before that like she mentioned rowing was a good exercise. Like more, it started to be. She was like a pop culture icon. Like people wanted to
row. She was their Mockingjay.
She mentioned. I'm saying, I don't fucking care. She is their Mockingjay. And then Dr. Mason came in, and he was like, "Oh, I have a word with you. I've been telling my wife this whole time to row, but one word from Elizabeth Zott, and all of a sudden she wants to row." And then Elizabeth's like, "Oh, so you're here to thank me?" And he's like, "No, I'm not here to thank you." And then she's like, "I'll accept your thank you." I love her. I love him too. He was a funny guy. Like,
one part that got me for real was in her doctor appointment, the first one, where he was like, "Is there anyone who could help you?" And she was like,
"My dog." Yeah.
And he was like, "Well, that's good."
And I loved how he was like supportive, like just immediately about the quirkiness of it.
Yeah, in the beginning, because they were kind of hinting that something was going to happen with the rowing. Yeah. I was kind of scared that he wasn't going to turn out to be as good as he was. But like...
Calvin?
But no, not Calvin. The doctor. Her doctor. Like, I thought he was going to have like just bad intentions like after.
Oh, right.
Because because when she went with Calvin, like they were kind of like, I don't know. I got like weird vibes.
I was worried that it would go down that way. Like she would be... abused,
like something would happen.
I was worried about that,
but it didn't, and I loved it. What
I was worried that they were gonna become a thing,
yes, same too.
Dr. Mason and her,
yeah. I was worried about that. I was worried about Walter.
I was worried about Walter. That's what I was thinking.
It makes you a horrible person, but like, still, I didn't want it because I was still coming of it, and she was too. So it's like, how dare we say that because she was still too.
Yeah, I know, and I feel bad. That's what I'm saying. I know I'm a bitch for saying that, but like, I'm glad she didn't move on, at least within the time that we saw her.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I don't think she would have, though. I feel like Calvin was her one and only.
Yeah, but she was young, too. I don't know.
She
didn't have the desire, I feel like. That's the thing.
Yeah, but you just never know. Like, I don't know.
No, in my head, she's living with Calvin. Like, shut the fuck up.
Okay. Okay, but like, my thing is, like, because in the beginning, I was afraid that she was going to be with Walter because they show her with Walter. They show her, like, your daughter,
like, he's at family dinner,
lunch. Like, your daughter's eating my daughter's lunch. Like, what are you doing? Like, go make your own lunch. I don't care what's happening with your family. Yeah. Like she was just telling him off, and then he was just like, and he was kind of intrigued by her. He was intrigued by her. So I was like, no, this is not what I wanted.
You know, in the show, there's a bait and switch of Mad and the daughter. What's the daughter's name?
Amanda.
Amanda, there's a bait and switch in the show because the first little girl we see is like girl who's getting made fun of, and she's a little chubby and she's getting bullied.
That's
and the
meta.
First, I know, but we see her first.
So you think it's
like,
Mad.
Oh my god, what are they gonna do to Mad? Like, I was like, oh no. But then Mad shares her food with her.
Oh, but that's what happens in the book too.
But the way they introduced it,
it was misleading.
Like, I see what you're saying.
But yeah, I was worried that was gonna happen the whole time, but then it turns out he likes Harriet, and then he's like, he's like, my daughter is really fond of you, and she's like blushing, she's like, thanks.
Yeah, so. No, and I thought it was sweet that like they became just one big family, like he was over, like him and Amanda would be over at their house for like dinner, like
I forgot what event happened. Oh, it was like literally at the end when her, I was gonna say mother-in-law, but it's not
Avery.
Avery,
Calvin's mom,
she was like, oh, I have to go because I literally wasn't gonna talk about this with you right now, like I was just gonna promote you to like the head, because she becomes head of the chemistry
department.
So but they end up talking about Calvin and all the past and like who they really are, but but at the end she was like, but you're coming back, right? Like, and she's like, yeah, I'll be back soon. And she's like, yeah, okay, so we could all be together. And then she mentions like with Harry, with Walter and Amanda, and like the whole big family. And I just thought that was cute because like in the beginning, like Calvin and Elizabeth, like they were like on
it was
their
just
own.
The two of them.
It was just, but even like before them, they didn't have anybody. And then right. they just
before
had
they were
other.
The two, they were just the ones.
Yeah. And then they became together. And then she was alone again. And then, like, she started building her little found family. And I just love that.
Yeah. Also, we didn't. Yeah. We talked about his.
Sorry, go.
I was just going to say, we talked about his sad, like, family history. We didn't talk about hers at all. Hers is crazy to me, too. Like,
hers was really sad.
The fraudster father and, like, the. Isn't she in prison? One of them, who's in prison? Her mom or her dad? I don't remember.
I thought she's just out. Like,
I think she's never out of prison. Yeah.
Oh. But so. Still, either way.
What happened to her brother in the book? He killed himself.
He was gay.
He committed suicide, yeah.
Because he was gay.
Because his dad didn't accept him. His dad, yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew that I knew we were getting down that road. Like, once she mentioned something, like, as soon as that, like, conversation or however it was told started, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
He's going to be gay and he's going to kill himself.
Yeah. It was, yeah. They kind of hinted it. Anyway. So, would you guys. What did you guys rate this book and, like, would you recommend it?
Five and yes.
Five and yes.
Perfect no notes. Five. I did recommend it. It's why we're here.
Slay, you did.
That's a 5-star book. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah. No, speak on it. I agree. I rated it a 5. It was my favorite book of 2023. And I will, and I have, or I have, and I will continue to recommend it. I literally, my mom was here shortly after I read it, and I bought her the book so she could read it on her flight home. She has yet to. However, I question her about it every time I see her, like, or talk to her. Like, so, have you started? Because, like, get on it, queen.
I know. It's a good book. Everyone should read it.
Read it. Yeah. I actually gave it a 4.5.
Yeah, I saw.
I gave it a 4.5. It wasn't a 5 for me, but I did love it.
You know what? You know why? Because you're just Jen.
I knew you were going to say that, and I wasn't going to laugh.
I'll laugh. It's okay.
You usually only laugh.
Why the no point five? What are you doing?
Because when I give fives, it has to be like a book. Like, I don't even care about, like, how good the writing is. Like, obviously that does play into it, but I need to be completely obsessed from beginning to end. Like, I need to, like, not be able to stop thinking about it.
That's on you. If you weren't, that's on you.
Okay, but that's not how I feel about the book, so it's not a 5.
You needed to let it simmer, but you rushed.
Elizabeth,
this is a rush order.
Elizabeth, remember, tomorrow was also a 4.5 until I couldn't stop thinking about that specific chapter, and then I gave it a 5, and it became the best read of last year for me.
I feel like I know I'm reading a 5 when I'm reading it. It's like, bam, this is going to change
me. Yeah, like, it hits you when it hits you. And it didn't hit me for this book.
Yet.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Yet.
Okay. But right now it's a 4.5. But I would definitely recommend. And I'm excited to see the show and see all the differences that, like,
there's more. There's a bunch.
Talked about. Like, because I'd love to, like, just compare.
Catch the next episode on Monday, February 5th at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. In honor of Valentine's Day and Black History Month, we will be discussing Honey and Spice by Bolu Babalola.
You can follow us on our socials at Boozy Book Talk Pod on Instagram and TikTok. And you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or pretty much anywhere podcasts are available. Also, make sure to subscribe and give us a review. And be sure to follow us on our individual Goodreads and Bookstagram accounts. And thank you so much to Lizbeth, my sister, for joining us on this episode.
Yay, thanks for having me.
Yay.
Yes, thank you, Liz. And thank you, listener. Thanks for listening.
Cheers.
Yes.